Well, we'd encourage you to have your Bibles open at our reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. My text is taken from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This morning I want to ask three simple, some might say very simple, but very important questions. First one, what is a Christian? In other words, what does it mean to be a Christian? Secondly, how do I become a Christian? And thirdly, and most significantly, am I a Christian? And of course, I want us all to personalize that last question. Am I a Christian? Now, I believe there are a good number of us here this morning that can answer these straightforward questions relatively easily. But my prayer is that at the end of this sermon, it will be more than a good number. That it will be all of us able to personally answer the questions honestly and sincerely to oneself. You see, we are living in an age when Christianity is seen by many as outdated, insignificant, unattractive, and unimportant. In fact, for some, it is seen as totally worthless. Mr. Dawkins and Mr. Hawkins might spring to mind. Sound like a firm of solicitors, don't they? Those sort of people would say that Christianity is totally worthless. In fact, we could probably say that the majority in this country are now, sadly, being sucked into this viewpoint that Christianity is worthless. One obvious sign of this is the declining numbers we see in the churches up and down our land. Or we see the Lord's Day being absolutely ignored virtually. No, you say to some people who have no idea of Christianity, what is today? They wouldn't ever say it was the Lord's Day. Sunday, and Sunday's a day of business, pleasure, leisure, whatever. And yet more than ever, it is becoming vital in our day of ecumenicalism, political correctness and live for the day culture that the Christian church, that's you and I if we're in Christ here this morning, that we hold firm to the word of God. That we remind people of the essential and central fundamental elements of Christianity. And I believe that we can do this by addressing the straightforward three questions that I've set out for us this morning. So, firstly, what does it mean to be a Christian? And of course, how do we become true Christians? And friends, we need to ask and answer such straightforward questions because on this subject, ignorance abounds. It surrounds us, including many people who do church on a Sunday. Many people who do church on a Sunday wouldn't be able to answer this question, or if they answered it, it would be incorrect. In fact, I'm sure that if we were to pick people at random from the town of Stowmarket and ask them these questions, we would get a huge variation of answers. Some would be along these lines. To be a Christian means, well, you must go to church. You must be good. You must obey a set of rules and regulations. You might get that from some who do church. Being a Christian allows people to get away with murder, some would say. A kind of cure-all for moral corruption. Christianity is like all religion, full of hypocrisy. I've heard that said at work. Christianity is simply a means of hedging your bets, just in case there is life after death, and that there might be a God up there. In fact, Karl Marx lumped Christianity with all other religion, proclaiming that it was nothing more than the opium of the people. So, there are all manner of ideas out there. And when I say out there, just round about here. All of them. All ideas. Which plainly show that today's society is completely and utterly confused about what it means to be a Christian. And quite frankly, that's not surprising when you hear some of the representations of the so-called Christian church in the media. They seem as confused as everybody else. Now, in our text, the Apostle Paul gives an entirely different definition of a Christian that the world gives. In fact, so different, it might even make us sit up and take a bit of notice. Might make us do some hard thinking here this morning. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Apostle Paul says a Christian is not merely someone who has just changed on the surface. He is not one who has merely given up some bad habits or taken on some extra duties in society, or for that matter, in a church. Now, of course, some of these may be signs of a man's Christianity, but the essence of Christianity, according to the Apostle Paul, is a radical change. In fact, it's more than that. It is a complete transformation of one's life. Paul speaks in his letters of the natural man in us being transformed. Now, the natural man, what is the natural man? Well, the natural man is selfishness, which works in every one of us through pride and vanity. That's the fall of man. That's us. And the striking phrase, in Christ, which the apostle uses, denotes being saved out of such a life. A life which self is at the center. And entering into a new life which love is at the center. The love of Christ is now at the center. Simply put, to be in Christ means deliverance from self and selfishness in all its many forms. We don't have to look far to see what we're being in the world is getting more and more selfish. No, for us, the Christians, there's a real abiding love in all its purest forms of Christ. In other words, it is a spiritual process of decreasing the I in self and allowing the love of Christ to increase within us. And the characteristic of the New Testament teaching is that it demands not some new kind of social pattern, but actually a brand new creation, a new living being in Christ. Leo Tolstoy, author of War and Peace, said these rather insightful words. Everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself. At the risk of stating the obvious, and I'm pretty good at that sometimes, but I'll do it here. At the risk of stating the obvious, without receiving Christ in us, we cannot be Christians. For without Christ, there is no real spiritual transformation that takes place in us. Romans 8, verse 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That is as straightforward as you can get it. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But, you see, when anyone turns to Jesus Christ and in faith invites him into their life, that transformation takes place and continues to take place. From now on, the world begins to take on that new appearance. If you're in Christ, this should have all happened to you. Our whole perspective is altered. We see things from an entirely different angle. That's what that last hymn was about. A new meaning to our lives has entered in. Look at the Apostle Paul himself. He who at one time, well, he hated Christ. That was his declared position. And he was active in it, in his hate of Christ. He hated all that Christ stood for and represented. But he became a new being, a new creation. And Paul said triumphantly after his conversion these words, "Yes, I live, yet not I." The I has gone, not I, but Christ lives in me. Scripture is full of men and women who become new creations by trusting in God, by putting their faith in Jesus. The prophets, the apostles, the many named and unnamed men and women who trusted and obeyed their Creator through Scripture. Think of the number of missionaries throughout history who truly put self aside completely and filled with the love of Christ gave up everything to pass on such love. All learnt the valuable lesson under God's tuition of decreasing self to allow Christ and his love to increase. I told you this is a challenge for every one of us here. Now, such a change. Well, for some, this amazing, miraculous change happens rapidly, quickly. For a few, instantly. But for the vast number, well, including myself, this new life, this new being, you know, has been one of steady but slow growth. And I have to say, from time to time, I think it's too slow. But whatever the speed of change, it is a miraculous change, friends. It is. For as Christians, we are now new creations. We are new creations in Christ. Let us not forget that. Let us not forget that in a world that doesn't even believe in God and when we can get pulled down, let us not forget that we are new creations in Christ. That's why we say we are born again. This is incredible news. I mean, the world would, if they were listening in, what is he on about? Well, I hope that you know exactly what I'm on about. We're new in Christ. And we need to hold on to that thought. This is a miracle. And it's happened to you and me if we're in Christ. So then, if to be a Christian means this incredible, far-reaching, miraculous change, how are we to become Christians? How are we to get this miraculous life? Well, firstly, we must understand that we cannot do it ourselves. Man doesn't like that very much. We can't do it. We can't do it at all. This is not something that man will ever be able to do. We need to seek and to ask God to help. We firstly acknowledge who He is. He is a thrice holy God. And we have all sinned against him. Again, something man doesn't like to think about. But it's fact. Let me read you two scripture verses that back that up. Ones that you know well, I'm sure. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Friends, we're all in this together. There's no get-out clause. All, if you're human, all have sinned. Now, because we're here this morning, I'm going to take a risk and make an assumption. It is a risk sometimes, I know, when we make assumptions. But I'm going to make an assumption. I'm going to assume that in one form or another, we are all here this morning seeking God. One form or another. Maybe just out of interest. Maybe just wanting to know a little bit more. Maybe we're not sure if God exists, but we want to know. I don't know. But I think we've got a desire, because we're here this morning, to know something of God. Some of us, maybe all of us, doing our best to be good, decent, honest people, to be a better kind of person than maybe we once were. But you see, the trouble is, our very best is not good enough. Nowhere near. Our own effort will never, ever be sufficient. In short, it must be God's way that He has provided for mankind. And that way, the only way, is faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We must invite Jesus Christ into our lives. That's why I said to the children about prayer. That's the most important prayer anybody can ever make, whatever your troubles. Invite Jesus Christ into our lives. We must acknowledge that He was God the Son, and He came to die on the cross, not for His sins, for He had none, but for the sins of all who put their faith and trust in Him. That's what becoming a Christian entails. Putting one's faith, putting one's trust, more than that, one's very existence into the hands of Christ the Saviour. At the risk of running over time, I'm going to go off my notes a fraction here. Sometimes Steve and I will have a chat and we'll say that we acknowledge that we sometimes have our doubts about whether we're saved or not. And then we say, well, where else can we look? Where else can we possibly look? Who could we possibly trust? Who could we possibly put our lives in the hands of? Well, you see, I came from the world. I know that part doesn't work. I've looked at religion, man-made. I know they've got nothing to offer. There is no one else. So I have fully committed to Jesus Christ. My very existence, I acknowledge now, which I didn't used to, depends upon Him, the risen Saviour. That's what becoming a Christian entails. So much so that He does become the centre of our life. That our lives are no longer built on what the world has to offer, but entirely built on Jesus Christ. There's a challenge for us. There's a challenge for me there. And that, of course, is what a number of us have done here this morning. That is what a number of us have done with our lives. That is what a number of us are doing and trying to do. But, let's be frank, we haven't perfected that yet, have we? We haven't perfected that life yet where we fully are in Christ, where He is everything to us. When the wife of missionary A. Judson, I wanted to say his first name, but I can't pronounce it. Somebody will tell me how to pronounce it. I'm not going to even try. Mr. A. Judson, when the wife of this missionary told him that a newspaper article likened him to some of the apostles, Judson replied, "I do not want to be like a Paul or any mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow Him only, copy His teachings, drink in His spirit, and place my feet in His footprints. Oh, to be more like Christ." As I say, I'm sure that as Christians we would long to be more like our beloved Saviour. But isn't it true that as hard as we try to be more like Christ, we so often seem to fail? Or maybe that's just me. And such failure can get even the most faithful Christian confused, despondent, And yes, even defeated at times. What with all the problems and pressures of life, many Christians can and do slip into a type of religious traditional rut, going through the motions, so to speak. Outwardly looking fine, but inwardly cold or cooling to the Saviour and the new life He has by grace given us. Friends, it can happen. It can happen. It is happening up and down churches in this land. Busy lives demanding our attention. The world filling our lives. And slowly we can start to forget that we are living miracles. We are. We're new beings. We're new creations. We're living miracles. But we can forget that. Instead of being more Christ-like, and despite our knowledge of the gospel, sadly, it is not always Jesus who speaks when we speak. Not always Jesus who acts when we act. And friends, I say this, it can happen to the strongest of believers. So, I am well aware that I might be speaking to a brother and sister in Christ here this morning who has become dull to the gospel, no longer moved by it. Now, just picks up Christianity when they feel like it, or have become selective in what parts of Christ they really want. A type of pick and mix Christianity. Picking out those agreeable messages of Jesus. And leaving the rest, and consequently missing the very nature of the path which the Lord has shown us to follow. Matthew 11, verse 49, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Christian, what I'm saying is we dare not have a pick and mix relationship with our Savior. Our faith must be all or nothing. Wholly rooted in Christ and Him alone. If we are to be strong, faithful, developing Christians, we must learn and fashion our lives on the pattern that Jesus Christ has showed us while He was on earth, so that we continue to be as new beings and grow in that fact, that miracle. And when we look at the world, we don't lose heart. And this fashioning of our lives and the pattern of our Saviour can only be achieved through closely imitating Him. Now I know it's hard to believe, but you know, one day, every one of us who's a Christian, we're going to be perfect. Well, I look at myself in the mirror and can't believe it. Maybe you do too. But that's the Word of God. That's not wishful thinking. Matthew 5, 48, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, a young child does not learn to deal with life by a process of reasoning, theorizing, or by consulting a book of instructions. Children learn by watching their parents. For good or for ill. Children generally grow up in the image of their parents or their guardians. We also, who are we? The children of God. We also can attain a spiritual maturity by learning to model our lives on our Saviour, to grow up in His image. To vary the image further, we have to constantly gaze upon Jesus with that fixed intensity. How are you doing on that? How am I doing on that? Gazing upon Jesus with that fixed intensity of an artist. You know, when the artist paints, they get their brush up and they're looking at their subject with that intensity to copy it. That should be us, looking at our Saviour. Jesus should be the mirror of our spiritual lives. Another characteristic which is essential for being a Christian and thus leading to a Christ-like life, well, is to absorb the mind of Christ. In his epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, Paul says this: let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I said to you, this is going to be a challenge for all of us. We should all be sitting up and listening here. You see, much of life is about decision making. Ask Janet and Andy that at the moment. You know, the decisions they've been through. But much of life is about that. Many everyday decisions we can make and they're done almost subconsciously, without thinking. On the other hand, some potential life-changing decisions can be worried over for weeks and weeks. Yet running alongside our entire decision-making process are numerous worldly influences tempting us this way and that, at every crossroad. We're approaching different types of crossroads, major and minor, all the time. Trivial, major decisions. They're confronting us all the time in our Christian life. And at these constant crossroad decisions, there is often found a conflict between the world's public opinion and the dictates of our new born again spiritual conscience. So how are we to act? How are we to act? How are we, the miracles in Christ that we are, how are we to decide in such a world influencing temptations that come at us at all manners, in all situations? How are we to decide? Friends, again, who do we look to? The Rock, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to his example, don't we? He has showed us how we should act under such circumstances. Remember, when Jesus had temptation bit before him by an expert, the devil, he turned to just one significant place, the Word of God. But the trouble with many of us, the trouble with me, is that I don't always think and react like my Saviour. Maybe you're the same. So the only way that we can consistently think and act as Jesus did, and therefore make correct Christian decisions, practical and spiritual, is to make every effort to absorb the mind of Christ. In other words, the Lord's way of doing things should be our way of doing things. It should become second nature to us. But there again is a challenge, because you see, sadly, you and I know that is not always the case. Just as it takes training and practice to be a sporting champion or a world-renowned artist, so it is for the Christian. It is by practice and constantly seeking to absorb the mind of Christ that we can attain a Christ-like way in our Christian living. We must seek to be with him more through his word and prayer. Remember, the sure thing is, he is with us. What does it say in Matthew 28:20? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But are we seeking to be with him? So, Christian, the challenge for us this morning is to not be content with some middle-of-the-road standard of our new life in Christ. Our challenge is to strive daily to bear our cross and take the narrow way which our Saviour has shown us. It's not an easy path to take. It requires effort. Yet a path that we know our Saviour has trod before us and is treading with us, arm in arm. Let us, in a world of compromise, a world of confusion, boldly and uncompromisingly walk
with God on His path by fixing our eyes on Jesus, our mind on Christ. In doing this, we will grow into stronger, more mature Christians, better able to reflect His glory, His love to all around us. Well, so far, we have said what it is to be a Christian, that we are in Christ, that we are a new creation, that our lives have been spiritually transformed, and that it is by faith in Christ and Him alone that such a wonderful, miraculous transformation takes place. A faith that should influence every aspect of our lives so that we strive to learn more of Him, endeavour to be more like Him, mirror Him to a dying world out there. We follow His way, His teaching, not the world's. We have the mind of Christ, not the world's. Of course, now this leaves that last simple question. Am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? That's a question you've got to pose to yourself. Am I a Christian? Well, you are if your faith and trust is in Christ and Him alone. You are if you are fashioning your lives on the pattern which He has shown. You are if you are following Paul's instruction of let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. But if you are sitting here this morning and not really sure as to whether you are a Christian or not, or in fact you know very well you're not, then I would ask you, I would urge you to speak to Jesus right now. Right now, before you leave this building, ask Him to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. Turn from the things of this world. That's what repentance is. Turn from the things of this world. They're all passing. They're going. Turn from them and be a new creation in Christ. You can ask for this miracle to happen, and I can guarantee if you ask sincerely, it will happen. Whoever you are, this invitation is open to you. Listen to our text again. If anyone is in Christ, can't be any clearer than that. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is said that in the very early days when the English missionaries went over to China, they could not achieve much. And their evangelistic work, well, it produced little, if any, results. One of the Chinese then said to these missionaries, "Do you know why it is that Christianity has made so little progress? It is because so few of you are really like Jesus Christ." I wonder how true that is of the Christian church in our land today. What about us? Friends, what about us? Are we Christ-like or even becoming Christ-like? I pray that we have been challenged about the sincerity of our Christianity this morning. Let us humbly examine ourselves so that we may be led by God's grace to follow our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever more closely. He's coming again. He's coming again. Let us be ready. Amen.